Welcome back to the Taylor Report. This is CIUT 89.5 FM. I remind you, we're on soundcloud.com/Taylor-report and facebook.com/Taylor Report. And with me again is Phil Conlon. And we were speaking before the interview with our good friend Keith Bolander about the Meng Wanzhou case and that she should be freed. I think for the self-respect of Canada, it's important to do this without asking Washington. The tragedy of Canadian predicament at the moment is that it, in fact, we have, we say this kiddingly, but it's true, that we have a president, and that president is selected by the Americans, not by Canadians. The Canadians have no vote. And I'm reminded that a Syrian politician, when the George Bush Sr. first announced to the world that we're going to have a new world order led by the indispensable country, nation, which is not a nation, but that's a long story. But anyhow, the American government, the Syrian politician, who I can't name him, it was many years ago, but I'll never forget he said it. He said, I don't mind if you're going to have a new world order. And if you Americans are going to claim that you're leading it, but we have to have elections to choose our representatives. But that doesn't happen because it's an imperialist order, and I would call it a neo-colonial order. Therefore, it's important Canada act now to free Meng Wanzhou and not wait for the nod, the green, they play, what is it, green light, red light in the with the Americans. Now, Phil, there's other matters I want to make sure we touch on. Are you following the story? Are you aware that at The Intercept, the founder of The Intercept, and certainly the driving, inspiring force of it, Glenn Greenwald, has resigned? Are you aware?
Yes, I've been following it closely. It's very disheartening. And it's especially the reason in which he gave that because his integrity as a journalist was challenged by the collective that runs Intercept, who are all people that he recruited for the place. You know, I mean, it's a nightmarish story. He had a story. He wanted to report on the story, and they said, "Well, you can't do that because we don't want Trump to win the election." I mean, that's what it amounted to, right? And he said, "Well, no, the whole idea of what we do here at The Intercept is that we don't let people tell us what stories we can cover and what stories we can't." You know?
Yes, that's. I would urge people to just put his name in, Glenn Greenwald. He's now with a something Substack, it's called. And to read his account of this, it is actually a study in how, yes, the so-called independent journalist actually is only independent if he has his own site, frankly, because Greenwald had a contract with The Intercept, which said that he would not, they would publish what he wrote. And if they didn't agree or think it should be published, that's their call, then he would be free to publish it elsewhere. That's an agreement. And as he's being misrepresented on this score because they're all making it as though, oh, well, this is standard practice and why doesn't he? They've actually immediately gone into the American mode of name calling and innuendo and nastiness, which is quite striking in American, amongst American so-called journalists. But his issue, Phil, most pointedly was this. He said, we were founded on the idea of challenging American power, but particularly the use of intelligence agencies like the CIA or the FBI as a source, because in American classic bourgeois journalism, New York Times, Washington Post, they manipulate the public by saying, A high-ranking source who doesn't wish to be named or wishes to remain anonymous tells us, and in the past that turned out to be Dick Cheney or Mr. Bolton and people like that. And he said Americans discovered to their horror that these gentlemen and power were manipulating famous newspapers. Isn't like Washington Post, New York Times. So he said, we at The Intercept were going to challenge that. We're not, and that's why he said we did it. Now, by the way, Greenwald put it on the line. I mean, Greenwald, he took up the story of Edward Snowden. That was a life-risking story. Snowden has been, his life, of course, is threatened, as we all know and understand. And what had he done? He had revealed to the American public that they were all surveilled, and that meant everybody in the English-speaking world and everywhere else is surveilled completely by U.S. intelligence. He thought it was important for people to know that. And put, link that, by the way, to the Huawei story, where they say, oh, the Chinese might spy on you. Well, you are spying on me, therefore... You don't, you know, you can't play the alarmist. You're in the game yourself. But at any rate, this was a story handled and written beautifully in, by Glenn Greenwald. And then he lives in Brazil. He took on the reactionary leader of Brazil who has been known to really harm people. And the Brazilian rulers that he called out and exposed in a story only 1 year ago, the death threats were so heavy, he has to pay for private private security. And he lives, let's say he walks the walk. And so here we have an embarrassment like Naomi Klein going after Greenwald saying, oh, he doesn't like to be edited. Well, Naomi, read what he said. He already had an agreement. They weren't going to edit him. By the way, he's a real reporter and you write books. I understand that. But you, there's nobody in that group who creates as much valued journalism, attacking intelligence organizations that mislead the public into wars. That's Glenn Greenwald's great accomplishment. And he remains true to that. She also suggested, Naomi Klein is an embarrassment. She also suggested he was doing it for the money. And he had to point out that he's actually taking a pay cut, that he said, if I wanted the money, all I have to do is stay there at the Intercept and take the money. What he's doing now is a bit of a risk and very likely he isn't going to make as much. We'll see. I would doubt, and I, you know, the Intercept would survive. I don't think it deserves to, actually. It was, he's the source of it. I recommend that people go to Matt Taibbi, to Ben Norton. Ben Norton has written some of the best stuff on this. You know the names, Ben Norton, Max Blumenthal, and follow this, but start with reading his, what Glenn Greenwald is writing about. And I'll just tell you in a nutshell, all he said was, well, he said many things, but he said, okay, the New York Post, founded by Alexander Hamilton, no recommendation. The New York Post had some stuff on the Biden family. They're Republicans. What do you expect? They do that. So Twitter decided they wouldn't allow the New York Post, fourth largest newspaper in America, to use their Twitter account. So in other words, they shut them down so that the American people wouldn't see the story. In the core of the story was emails. And so the question that many people asked was if there are emails apparently from Hunter Biden to certain people. The question is, are they his emails? And American liberal intelligentsia and their journals say, don't ask that question. It's a simple question. It doesn't mean anything other than are those his emails or not? And then you can draw your own conclusions. I doubt that it'll affect anybody's vote, but they decided, no, can't do that. And one of the things the little gang that now runs The Intercept, and they all have fat salaries, by the way, Phil. You'd be impressed. $500,000 a year, or $450,000, which is
crap.
I think that's more than you make, as far as I know. And so they said, they quoted, get a load of this, they quoted 9 or 10 former CIA guys who said the New York Post revelation has the earmarks of Russian disinformation. Though, they said, we have no evidence. So the Intercept gang cited that. And so he said, well, here we are. We started off as an outfit that exposed these kind of guys putting out that kind of statement. But we're the intelligence guys. You can trust us. And we think this is so-and-so without any evidence. Now you're using it against me. And you expect me, Glenn Greenwald, to fall for that. So anyway, he's been saved from the characters who took it upon themselves to edit him. None of them can carry his shoes, frankly, and particularly Naomi Klein. What an, she's from Canada. This is disgraceful. I'm gonna say something, Phil, about the election. I'll do it quickly. I'm already surprised that the Green Party has a guy named Howie Hawkins running. Howie Hawkins, in a recent statement, set a record, in my opinion, for red baiting, talking about China. And this is a recent statement. I know he's been hiding from previous dumb remarks he's made. But, you know, I'd say to him, Howie, I'd never vote for you, frankly, because, you know, we have a problem developing with China, and you ripped them off. Or I shouldn't say ripped them off. You ran them down big time in a way that is totally, well, it's wrong, but it's also very dangerous. And I remember Jill Stein. I miss her because she knew how to speak and make her points. And she, as far as I know, she didn't red bait. But Howie is he's a serious red baiter. And that is dangerous. And what he said about China was untrue. So it's a concern because I know people say, oh, well, I'm not going to vote Dem, Republican. I'm going to go with the Green. Well, boy, they're in a sorry situation. So we hope everybody thinks about it. We do not know what's going to happen in the election, but a week from now, the Taylor Report will be back and we will be assessing all this. I want to thank Phil Conlon and remind you, this is the Taylor Report, and see you next week.